So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to talk to you this morning about the number one habit. The number one habit. Now, you may be like this next photo. Bring that up. Has this ever been you? That God says, I have a plan for your life and what it feels like. The one on this side is laughing, having a good time. That's the Holy Spirit. But you're holding on for dear life, going, oh my God, what's going on? Now come on, raise your hand if that's ever been you. All right. Keep your hand up if it is you. Right now, today, that's you. After knowing Brother Katz, that's me too. Wait a minute, God. You know, I mean, come on. We had Pastor John last month, Pastor Cash this month. Next month, it ain't going to be nobody, by God. But as we begin, I want to ask you a question. I don't want you to literally answer out loud, but I do want you to answer. What one thing do people like Abraham have in common with Moses and David, the prophets, the minor prophets, the major prophets? What about Jesus? What do they have in common with Jesus? How about Paul? All right, let's bring it into this day and time. Whatever your thoughts about them, Oral Roberts, who had a great tent ministry at one time and who my dad was saved under, and hundreds have been healed by their ministry. How about Kenneth Hagin, or somebody you might not know a little bit, but Andrew Womack? What do these men have in common? What do these women have in common? They all come from different times. They come from different lands. Some speak different languages. They observe different customs and different traditions. They served in different capacities. Some were pastors, some were evangelists, some were prophets, some were apostles. Some were different vocations and different occupations, but they had one thing in common. What is that one thing? This one thing will aid you in the mastery of other things. This one thing will make you a master of whatever area of life that you are invested in. What is the one thing? This one thing will guide you into your wealthy place. Oh, now I got your attention. Oh, I'm going to be wealthy. Hey, hold on. This one thing will guide you into your place of significance. This one thing will guide you into the place of not only influence, but of significance. What is the one thing? This is the one thing that all highly spiritual people have in common. They've always had this one thing in common. When I was talking with Diana about the graphic of what I wanted, I said, I'm going to preach on one thing. She said, what is that? I go, come Sunday and find out. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So if you haven't already surmised what that one thing is, that one thing is having the ability to hear the voice of God. Because God will never lead us where he can't keep us. And God will never lead us in an area that it is not a good place when God's finished product. Now, why do I say that? Because God was leading the shepherd when the shepherd said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The shepherd was being led by God. But I want you to understand something, because I don't want you to confuse spirituality with ministry. Oh, yeah. Now you got jokes. What does that say? Bring it back up. But this is the look you gave the pastor when he says it's going to wrap up in 35 minutes. Oh, yeah, you got jokes. You got jokes. Really, Craig? Craig, I snuck that in there. Go ahead. It's okay. No, hey, Craig, seriously, I did. I snuck that in there, but fix it, whatever needs to be fixed. I thought it'd be kind of funny. Because I plan on preaching about 35 minutes. Let me move on. Don't confuse spirit. I did forget I put it in there, though. Don't forget. But don't confuse spirituality with ministry. Because some people think that the spiritual people are the people that are in ministry. Well, let me tell you this. Let me just go ahead and lay the groundwork that if you're a child of God, you're in ministry. If you call yourself a Christian, you're in ministry. You might not be in what we would call full-time ministry. That might not be where you get your pay from, but every Christian is a minister. I was a minister long before I ever got a certificate saying I was a minister. I was a minister when I said yes to Jesus Christ because he said that I would be a witness of him, and that makes me a minister. So you can be spiritual. Now I want you to hear me closely. You can be spiritual without being in ministry. All right, let me just take this for instance. All right, Pastor John, and he's over here this morning, and Pastor John was our youth pastor for 12 years. But because he's not the youth pastor, does that make him not spiritual? No. Because he is the youth pastor, does that make him spiritual? No, not really. Because don't confuse it, spirituality with ministry. Because you can be in the ministry and not be spiritual. Don't point at nobody that you know. You better not point up here. I throw this microphone. But you can also be spiritual and not be in the ministry. Now, I'm not talking about being weird. Because we could go another message on weird people being spiritual in the ministry and out of the ministry. Come on, somebody. But not every spiritual person is a prophet. Some spiritual people are plumbers. Except for those that always has a crack showing. This is a no crack zone. Anyway, let me move on. You can be spiritual and be a school teacher. You can be spiritual and be a truck driver. You can be spiritual and be and cut hair. God knows they got to be spiritual because everybody tells them they're trouble. You can be spiritual and still and drive a truck. You can be a spiritual and be a doctor. You can be spiritual and clear land. You can be spiritual and be a carpenter because you're trying to go in the tracks of Jesus because he was a carpenter. Nobody caught that. Wow. You're slow this morning. What is that one thing? The one thing that I believe that should be developed in every person is that you hear the voice of God. Point number one is this, if you're taking notes. The number one habit of all highly spiritual people is that they hear the voice of God. Now, let me go on record and say, I've never heard God like this.
Ronnie.
Man, that would make it so much easier and better if the Lord would just go,
Ronnie, here's what I want you to do.
Yes, Lord. Speak to me, oh God. Wouldn't that be good? I mean, he could even voicemail. I don't even care. Problem is, some of y'all think that,
Ronnie, this is God.
No, you're not. But what I'm saying is that if we're going to be spiritual people, then we've got to learn to discern the voice of God in our life. Now, somebody has asked me, Pastor, does God
talk to people like this?
Yes, he does. He's never done it to me, but I will say that there are some people that say they hear the audible voice of God, and they say they hear it a lot. And some of those people, I believe that some of them do hear the audible voice of God. But what I have learned is that God might not speak to me as much as he does some of these really quote-unquote spiritual people. But he doesn't lie to me as much as he does to them either. Amen. You know somebody who you know, the God speaks to them every day, and God, it does want to speak to us every day, but they talk, everything they do, God told me to do this, God. And their life is a wreck. Look like a Jerry Springer episode. I mean, their lives are a wreck. Their finances are a wreck. Their commitments are a wreck. They've been married 8 times, and God told them to marry each one. No, he did not. God is not schizophrenic. You've heard it said that one word from God can change your life, right? And if that's true, that is true if you hear that one word. That's the key. One word can change your life, but you got to hear that one word. And if you could hear that one word, then honey, it will and has the ability to change your life. When I came to Crystal River, Florida, if y'all let me stay to October, it'll be 25 years that I've been in this church. But when I came here, I heard the voice of God. I heard it at that time that I knew that it was God's will for me to come to Crystal River. And so glad that I did. Now, he used different things to let me know that. But he's just deep down in my spirit, I knew that it was the right thing to do. See, learning to discern the voice of God is paramount of a successful Christian life. If you want to be a successful Christian, then you've got to learn to hear the voice of God. And I'm not talking about being stupid and weird. I've told this story many times, but the one woman said, "Well, Pastor, I was praying today. And I said, Lord, do you want me to do the dishes?" True story. I'm telling you. She was telling me this. And you ever look at somebody just thinking, you smiling, you going, "You're an idiot. You are out of your mind. You are wasting my time." But she said, "Do you want me to do the dishes?" "I want to do the dishes. Do you want me to do the dishes?" I started to go, "I know your husband said yes. Your children said yes." And then she says, "And I felt like the Lord said, yes, do the dishes." And so then I asked, "Should I wash them or put them in the dishwasher?" I mean, come on. But you got to discern the voice of God. It is paramount to a successful Christian life. Now, I knew about this thing with Brother Cash. I've known it was coming for a couple of months. And the overseer asked me to broach it with him, and I did. And he would say, "Well, I'll be praying about it." And you know, and this is a perfect example of someone not hearing from God. No, I trust his discernment. I trust his discernment. But the pattern of hearing isn't new. Jesus didn't develop it. He lived it like no other person. But every man, woman, boy, or girl has ever achieved anything for God, then they first had to hear what God was saying. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice," or "always heed." That word "hear" is a Greek word, and it means to always heed my word. "Always heed" translates the force of the continuance present tense, meaning that they heard, they are hearing, and they will hear. That's what I want to be. I want to hear, always hear, and I will hear what God has to say. Because let me tell you this, that God has an opinion on most stuff. God has an opinion on who you're to marry, who you're to date. God has an opinion on where you're to go to church. God has, you say, "Pastor, really?" Yeah. I believe that God leads us. Now, God doesn't lead you to a new church every 3 months. He doesn't lead you to a new church every week. You know, the Bible says, "Blessed are those who are planted in the household of faith." I say get somewhere and get planted so you can grow some roots and grow. The problem with too many Christians, all of our roots are on the surface. And the least little storm or the least little wind, it'll topple your Christianity. Oh, I'm preaching good right now. But you got to understand that yet many of God's people claim to have never heard or seldom hear the voice of God. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass nobody. But ask yourself, have I ever heard God speak to me? And again, for me, you might have. But for me, I've never heard God say,
Ronnie.
But I believe that I hear God every week, many times a week. The sermons I preach, I don't just get in there and go, huh. No, I begin to pray, God, what do you want to say to your people? And then some of you say, man, I tell you what, preacher, every time I come, it seems like you're talking right to me. Well, it's because God knows what you need. And that's why that over here, the preaching, somebody heard one thing here and somebody else heard something else over here because it was the Holy Spirit speaking to your situation through a man. So we've got to understand that. But one of I think it's my next point, Mike. Who's about? Yeah, Mike. Is that one of the reasons why we don't hear his voice is God's humility and man's pride. Wait, God's humility? Yeah, I'll explain here in just a moment. But it's God's humility, but yet our pride. Because God's humility is both a blessing and a very great problem for us. Pastor, unpack that. Well, I'm glad you asked me to. A blessing because his humility leads him into fellowship with people that are flawed like you and me. See, if God wasn't humble, he wouldn't give you or me the time of day. But because of his humility, he comes down low to where we are. And that's a blessing whether you realize it or not, that God would stoop to associate with me. Because I'm telling you, there are people who don't want to associate with me, and there are some people I don't want to associate with. But I'm thankful that God wants to associate with me. He is high and lifted up, yet he comes low and speaks to you and I, and we are flawed people. Wait a minute, preacher, I thought you said you were saved. I am saved by grace, but I'm still flawed, and God's still working on me. And if you think that you have arrived, then let me go ahead and bust your bubble, because you have not. You're still in need of the touch of God and the grace of God and especially the mercy of God. So it's a blessing that he comes down and speaks to us who are flawed. But the problem, that was the blessing. Here's the problem with it. Is it because his humility leads him to come to us in ways that makes it easy for us to ignore him or even reject him? Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. Yeah, because of his humility. God could come down. I mean, come on. If God appeared to you in a shining angel with shield and sword, you'd be like, ah! And if he began to talk to you, here's what I want you. Absolutely. You'd be scared straight. You'd be scared to the point you'd do whatever he said. Yes. The problem is, the devil could possibly do that to you also. So he comes in a humility, in a way that leads us into, or that causes us to have the ability to ignore him or reject him. That's his humility. From the lips of the Lord Jesus, here's what it says. There occurs the expression, if any man have ears, let him hear. Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, God spoke many times in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Jesus was the visual expression of God. And he said that if you've seen me, then you've seen my Father. Jesus was the clearest form of expression of God's voice. He spoke to all, right? When Jesus spoke, he spoke to everybody, but all did not hear. That's why some of you will leave this church to service today and you will say, man, that was a good word. At least, hopefully, one of you will leave and go, that was a good word. And others will say, I didn't get anything out of it. Because you're not discerning the voice of God to your life. Hear me, church. The formula is very significant. For though openly and apparently he speaks to all, He speaks in such languages that only those who have spiritual perception will apprehend what he's saying. That if you don't have spiritual perception, you won't know what God's saying. Have you ever talked to somebody, and then when they left you, they had their own perception of what you said? And it was completely different of what you said. And because that's perception. If we're not careful, if we don't discern what God says, then we will leave here saying, believing that God said one thing when he didn't say that. The rest hear the words, but do not grasp the meaning, and the multitude have no ears to hear, the Bible said. All will be wasted upon them. Psalms 138 says this, for though the Lord is high, yet has he respect to the lowly, bringing them into fellowship with him. But the proud and haughty he knows and he recognizes only at a distance. Proverbs 3:34, he mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and the oppressed. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. Three times. So I would be willing to say it's pretty clear that we're to be humble before the voice of God. Humble before him, but not haughty. The Lord, oh good gracious. The Lord loves all the same, but doesn't relate to all the same. You ever talk to people that every time they hear the voice of God, it's always sweet, and like a mother or a father. Oh, my son, I'm so pleased with thee. He don't talk to me in King James Version. And matter of fact, he ain't always sweet to me. Well, Pastor, it probably ain't God. See, that's the problem. We think God is always speaking pleasing. Sometimes he will speak a rebuke. Sometimes, I don't know how God speaks to you, but sometimes God just talks to me like, I mean, come on, God. I've heard the Lord say to me, are you stupid? You ain't ever heard God speak that way. Yeah, God said, what's wrong with you? Boy, you a few French fries short of a Happy Meal. What is wrong with you? I've heard the Lord say, shut up. I'm trying to pray, and you want me to shut up? You ain't praying, you complaining. Shut up. I'm trying to help somebody. God, yes, I love you, and because I love you, I ain't going to let you act like no little punk or little brat. Oh, I thought God just comes in like... He does come in subtly. But sometimes he comes in like an earthquake. Oh, I like it when he comes in like Mama used to come in. Baby, you okay, baby? Who hurt your feelings? But sometimes the same Mama would come in and go, dry it up. That's enough. That's enough. I've heard all of it I want to hear, so dry it up. See, y'all think God is somewhere like way out there. And as long as you think he's way out there, that's why you act the way you do. But when you know that God is right here, hey, and that he goes where you go, it begins to change where you go and what you look at. Good preaching, Pastor. Psalms 25:12 says this, who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inhabit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for who will pluck my feet out of the net? See, God reserves the right to share secret paths. The way we should choose to those who are attention on our eyes are on him. God responds to the passionate and is reserved toward the apathetic. Now, when I say passion, I don't mean the way you act passionate, but people can be passionate without you even knowing it. The best way to discover how the hearing of the voice of God, is to study the life of Jesus, because he simply did it the best. All right, to hear from God, let me give you three things to work on this week. To hear from God, I think it's point number two. You got to have availability. Unreserved availability for God. You know, I don't know. I know y'all do this because y'all do it all the time when I call. On your phone, there's a do not answer. Right? And then there's a, and I use this a lot, can't talk right now. How about that one? If you got an iPhone, it's a, I can't talk right now. That means you are otherwise engaged. But I'm telling you right now, if there was a number that come up that said, God, oh, y'all got to excuse me. I got to take this. Right? Hello, God, what do you want? But the problem with us is so many of us don't have availability for God. We want God to talk to us when we're done with everything that we want to do. We want God to talk to us late at night. And I believe that God does talk to us in the midnight hour. But let me move on. I believe that God does talk to us. I believe he talks to us in the midnight. I think he talks to us in the morning time. Whatever it is, your time. But you got to have availability, because relationships can never be about convenience. My God, that'll preach right there. Every married person in this house ought to just have the Holy Ghost hit you. Relationships are not about convenience. It is rarely convenient when my wife wants me to do something. It's when I'm in the middle of something else. Right? But that's what relationships... How many of our friends have said, hey, are you busy this Thursday? We know what that means. Maybe. What do you have in mind? Well, I want you to go out to eat with me. I want to buy you a steak. Oh, yes, I'm available. All right, I need some help moving. No, there's something on my schedule. Right? Or how many of us friends have said this? And I did it last night. It's a long story. I won't even go into it. But I was trying to load my boat late last night because it got dark. And I was trying to load my boat because we went out scalloping. Yes, we did. And I know some of y'all did last week on Sunday morning. It poured rain? God was speaking. Anyway. But somebody came up, and I was trying to load my boat. My winch had messed up, and I was trying to load it, and I was had the two girls there. And then, but there was somebody who had, he said, hey, preacher, let me give you a hand. I go, no, I'll be all right. Well, it's no bother. Well, I don't want to bother you. How many of us have ever said that? If you can't bother your friends, who can you bother? And he said, nope, I'll have nothing to do. Boy, I'm so glad he helped me. Because I might still be there this morning. But what I'm trying to say is that you've got to recognize that availability is one of the primary characteristics of friendship. Is that you're available. How many of you ever got sick and you went to the hospital and said, oh, you ain't got to be here. You're right, I don't have to be. I choose to be. How about you ever cut somebody else's yard? Some of you are like, what? Huh? Well, you cut their yard. Well, you ain't got to. I know you don't have to, but I choose to. That's availability, right? You know, and people go, you know, you go visit your friends in the hospital, and you go there. Well, you don't have to be here. Well, you're right. They don't have to be. And do you think that's where they want to be? But they want to let you know. And want to check on you, and they want you to know that you're important, and that their availability, that you supersede everything else that they had going on. Amen. Amen. Availability. See, one man shared the story of how he was in great need, so he asked a friend, what time can I call you? And his friend said, call me anytime. The man said, no, I need to know what time you go to bed. He said, I don't want to wake you And his friend said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference what time I go to bed or what time I go to sleep. Because he said, me and you are close enough. I'm a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week friend. Come on, somebody. Everybody needs some 24-hour, 7-day-a-week friends. And let me just go on record. I'm not him for everybody. Let me just go on record. You're our pastor, right? Pastor and friend are two different things. I'm your pastor. Don't be calling me no 3 o'clock in the morning talking about you got a toe ache. Well, yeah, I got a headache now because you called me and I woke me up. All right. Availability is the primary characteristic of true friendship. Friends are available to friends. See, there's things that I'll do for friends that I wouldn't do for anybody else. And there ought to be things that you would do for friends that you wouldn't do for everybody. It seems to me that God almost delights in speaking to us at the most inconvenient times. Anybody else relate? The Lord loves to talk to me about 2:30 in the morning. I wake up in the morning. All right. Lord, is this you or is this the devil? Because if it's the devil, I'm going to rebuke him and go back to sleep. And I'll be up for a couple of hours sometimes, praying or reading or thinking, whatever. Because God loves to inconvenience us. As if to test our availability. Let me give you another one. So if you want to hear the voice of God, you got to be available. You got to have availability. Here's another one. You got to have a willingness to obey. You got to have a willingness to obey. John chapter 7, verse 16 and 17, he says, so Jesus answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. Hearing is always with the intent of obeying or complying. Ooh, that's good. Hearing is always with the intent of obeying or complying. You know, if I just want God to speak to me. What do you want him to say?
Well, I don't know. I just want him to say hello.
I mean, that's cool if God says hello to you. But there's so much in my life, you ain't got to say hello. Give me some direction. Amen? When you speak to your kids, it's usually in order to get them to comply or to obey. Now hear me. How many times remember your mama saying, I'm tired of talking to you? Now see, in my generation, it was different than this generation. The generation today, when mama said, I'm tired of talking to you, means she quit talking. No, when my mama said, I'm tired of talking to you, that meant the next thing you were going to feel was a belt on your backside. No, mama didn't give you the silent treatment. Oh, she was silent, all right. All you heard was whoosh, the belt going through the air. Whoosh, and then the next thing you heard was, because she was like a ninja. Swat. And where you at? Listen to me. If obedience fades, so will hearing. If you ain't going to obey what God said, then why? Listen. So I'm not God. I ain't nowhere near God. But when I do counseling, if I find out you didn't do what I first advised, then don't waste my time. Because who doesn't value your time also doesn't value your advice. Amen. Amen. People come, well, Pastor, I got a problem. I say, well, what'd you do last week? You know, what did you do? No. What did you do? No. What did you make a button? No. I ain't got time for you then. I ain't got time for you. What you want me to do it for you? If we do not follow through on the things God has asked us, he will eventually ask someone else. Do you think that you are so vital? Now listen to me. You are vitally important, but do you think you're so important to get the task done that God don't have anybody else to do it? Listen, that's what Sometimes, you know, we think that we're a humdinger. And you are not. You are just a dinger. And sometimes we think that we're the only ones left. We want God to speak, but only when we're saying something good about us or to us. But here's what I know. Oh, it's 9:51. I got to quit. Where's that meme at? Anyway, I got to quit. But let me say this. That old Elijah, he said, I'm the only one that hadn't bowed my knee to Baal. And God said, I've got 7,000 who have yet to bow to Baal. You think you're the only one that God can use? God ever tell you to do something, you didn't do it, and then God used somebody else and you got mad about it? You're like, dog, I should have did that. God could have used me, but no. I was hard-headed. Number four, and I'm done. Humility. You want to hear the voice of God? You got to have availability. You got to obey. You got to obey what he says, the willingness to obey, and then you got to humility. Every person, both in the Bible and in our modern times, who have had the ability to hear the voice of God was also a person of great humility. See, I know people who try to propagate or prostitute the voice of God. Well, you bring me an offer and I'll tell you what the Lord said. No, that's called a fortune teller. I'm not looking for a fortune teller. The voice of God is available to all. Humility. See, here's the problem. Some of us have a trouble with humility. Because we think humility is the root word of humiliation. So we think in order to be humble, we got to be humiliated, and then it's not so. Humility isn't the same as degradation. Some people think that to be humble is to devalue oneself to the point of shame. But that's not what humility is. Matter of fact, humility is defined as a modest or low view of one's own importance.
Well, Pastor, I'm trying to build up my self-esteem.
No, listen, church. You need to know who you are and who you're not. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. I'm a child of God. But I also know that I'm not God. You see that? I know the importance of where I am. I know that I'm not the bottom of the barrel, but I also know that I'm not the upper crust where anybody can't touch me. I understand that I'm a man of God, but I also realize that without God, I'm nothing. I realize that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, but I got to remember that it's Christ who strengthens me. True humility means that our trust is always in the greatness of God and not in our own self. To hear God's voice. To hear God's voice is one of the sweetest rewards. Man, if you've ever heard God's voice, you ever been going through something and you just get you just hear the voice of God that says, I got this, or it's going to be all right, and the peace just comes over you. To constantly hear God's voice is one of life's greatest challenges and advantages. To clearly hear God's voice is the heritage of God's people. I want you to catch that. It is the heritage of God's people. If you're a child of God, then you need to know that you have the ability to hear God's voice. Bring my text up, Mike. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Come on, stand to your feet. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And if you don't know Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity to get to know him. to ask him to come into your life, forgive you of your sin. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but if that's you this morning and you want to make things right with God, would you slip up your hand? You can put it right back down. Anybody in this room?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.